Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
What a day. You know, I'm sitting here looking at all the breaking news stuff happening. Breaking news! They're going to repeal Obamacare. They're going to call it Trump Care. The president met with the Dems today and tell them how to get back at them. Blurdy, blurdy, blur. Ivanka Trump and her husband are moving into this house. Blurdy, blurdy, blur. Let's talk about the Russian hacking. Trump doesn't believe it was the Russians. Blurdy, blurdy, blur. I don't care if it was or wasn't. It's over. It's done with. And even Julian Assange, right? Like this is, I mean, in the overall scheme of things, does this matter? Well, they hacked in. So what? You do realize that we are trying to hack into the Chinese as we speak. You do realize we're trying to hack into to North Korea. You do realize we're trying to hack into Russia as well. You do realize we're hacking into all of theirs. You don't think we're hacking into Iran? You don't think we're trying to hack into Iran? You don't think we have cyber warfare? You don't think that's not going on? You think everybody else is doing? We're like, we've never done anything like this. We would never. Jeez. You know the difference is? You used to hack into people's stuff and you kept it quiet. Now you hack into people's stuff and you open your mouth. We all saw war games, right? We all saw war games. Now you hack into something, and if it's damaging to somebody, or it could be potentially damaging to somebody and could potentially open up a can of worms that maybe needs to be opened up, what do? You give it to a guy who's living inside the Ecuadorian embassy in London, and he puts it on his website. We act as if we have never done this. We act as if we... Let me ask you guys this. What do you think Snowden was doing? Oh, he was collecting data on us. But what do you think him and all of his comrades and his buddies and pals were doing? They're hackers. They're coders. They're cyber warfare spies. That's what a spy is nowadays. It's a 260-pound nerd who's sitting in a room watching reruns of Buffy the Vampire Slayer and trying to hack in to all kinds of stuff. That's espionage now. Right? James Bond looks different today. He's got acne. He's never been on a date. Right? He speaks a million languages and they're all in code. He'd rather watch a Star Wars movie than kiss Barbarella. That is who James Bond is nowadays. My goodness. I just love the insanity. Am I supposed to be worked up about this? That's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out if I'm supposed to be upset that this hacking went on or not care any more than I already don't care. Because I don't care. Well, they influenced our... Did they really influence it that much? I mean, honestly. Did they influence it that much? Or did you already think many of those things you were just now justified in the thoughts that you had? But did you really think that that happened? I have news for you. Nobody in the Rust Belt thought, you know what? I was going to vote for Hillary, but I saw Podesta, who most people have no idea, by the way, who that is. Most people have zero idea who Podesta is. Most people don't know who Julian Assange is, right? Right? They can tell you who The Bachelor is, but they can't tell. They can tell you what Kim Kardashian's back on social media. They can tell you who Jay-Z is. They can tell you who, I don't even know who the hell's on Coachella, right? I'm like reading, I'm like, I have no idea. I asked somebody today, it's like, is Kendrick Lamar that big that he can headline something like this? Like, I didn't know. I don't know. Most people don't care about this crap. He's, man, did you guys hear what happened? Like Obamacare being recalled. A little bit more interesting. Right, I mean, this is done. This repealed and replaced, and the Democrats talk about an overreaction of fear today, right? Like they're not only are they repealing everything, right? Not only are they going to repeal Obamacare. They're taking out every senior citizen and shooting them, apparently, according to Nancy Pelosi. You're losing everything. They're taking away your Social Security. They're taking away your Medicare, Medi-Cal, Medi-this, Medi-that, Medivac, Mani-Pedis. They're taking away everything. This is it. And they're going to rename it Trump Care. Oh, God. The overreaction and fear. As I sit here and I watch this today, and the fact that we're just about a month from, you know, when we had the election, and we're only about 15 and a half days away to the inauguration day, and they're still talking about WikiLeaks and why this is a big deal. Well, Rush, you know what? This did Julian Assange has probably not lied. Did he get it from the Russians? No. Did he get it from somebody who maybe got it from the Russians? It's possible. Does it really matter? He said himself, look, a 14-year-old can hack into Podesta's email. Who cares? Doesn't affect anything. They're not going to find out anything new. Oh, you know, did so-and-so called, you know, Putin a sycophant today and say, oh, my God, I'm over this. Can we move on to stuff that matters in our lives, our day-to-day world? Can we move on to stuff that matters? Again, she didn't lose the election because WikiLeaks found out stuff. You thought what you thought about her long before that. Long before Podesta and Powell and everybody else had their emails exposed. Long before the DNC. By the way, if I'm the DNC, I'm not embarrassed by any of the stuff that happened with as far as it came to the national election. You know what I'm embarrassed about? I'm embarrassed about the way that they destroyed Bernie Sanders and set it up for him to fail. That would be my embarrassment. That would be the embarrassment you should have. If I'm the press, I'm embarrassed because every time something gets out, there's always somebody in the press that is, you know, has buddied up with the Democrats. There's your embarrassment. New York Times reporter, you know, asking the Clintons and Podesta, is this okay to print this? There's your embarrassment. That's not journalism. That's activism. But none of this is going to change anything. None of this. What you're seeing right now is not being changed, right? WikiLeaks, Obama. We all knew Obamacare is going to be canceled out. We all knew it was done and dusted. The minute he got the election, at 2:35 Eastern Standard Time, when he wandered up there and said, I just got a call from Hillary, blah, blah. It was over, right? The legacy was done. Now, what are they going to replace it with? That's a good question to ask. Those are things people care about. How much more is this crap going to cost me? How much more do I have to pay? How much more? Can we keep some of the stuff in there that was actually very good? Can we keep the pre-existing conditions? Can we keep some of the stuff where we can keep the kids on a little bit longer? Can we get our heads out of our asses and figure out a way to actually fix this thing? It shouldn't be this hard. I love when people say, we put a man on the moon. We put a man on the moon almost 50 years ago. We're past that now. Let's figure out a way to do these things. We're the greatest country in the history of mankind, period, case closed. If we can't find solutions to these problems, then we're idiots. We need to take the politics away from these dumbasses in places like Washington and state capitals and start actually doing stuff correctly. That's by replacing these idiots. You guys can't come up with a solution. A solution that's sitting there? Oh, sweet mother of God. Piss me off. What's up, party people? It is National Spaghetti Day. In honor of that, we had KFC for lunch, and it was delicious. KFC is one of those things where it's really good for you at one moment because it tastes great, and then 30 minutes later, you're like, oh, God. But today was great. It was finger-licking good. And so far, I've had no after effects. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. Chadbenson, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Do you really feel, you can text me this, right? 323-538-2423. Do you really feel that WikiLeaks and the Russians and Julian Assange and anybody, the 14-year-old fat kid in the room, you know, working on his computer. Do you really feel they influenced the election that much? And are we the kettle calling the pot black because we've never done this before? Come on. Really? Really? Hate. It's powerful. F-word. Why do we hate each other here in America? Chad Benson Show.
Oh, dear God, no.
Do you have any questions?
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Why do we hate each other? We shouldn't hate each other. But apparently we do hate each other. I had a very interesting article in the LA Times talking about the hate that we tend to have for each other now. And I found it very, it's eye-opening. And they try to, and this is the LA Times, so know exactly what you're getting into. LA Times, New York Times, not really the bastion of conservatism. Not really, you know. Just left of Lenin kind of, you know, things. But I think it did a fair job of showing both sides of what is going on in this country. And David Horsey wrote it, and he said, you know, in early December, a wildfire raged through Great Smoky Mountains that destroyed nearly 1,000 homes in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Thousands were evacuated. In the midst of the tragedy, numerous messages appeared on social media that were as despicable as they were dispiriting. One man sent out a tweet that says, laughing at all the Trump supporters in Gatlinburg as their homes burned to the ground tonight. Too bad it's not the whole state burning. Someone else tweeted, a few Confederate flag-flying hillbillies losing their mobile homes isn't newsworthy. Maybe it's God's way of punishing Trump. Talked about the other day, a person was stuck in a very bad snowstorm, blizzard-like conditions. Another person drove by, saw the person had a Trump sticker on their car, and continued on and then tweeted about it later as if to say, I would never pick up somebody like Trump. And then on the other side, you've got, you know, the right has done as many, you know, despicable things and said stuff because we've allowed this to seep into our culture. We've allowed, and you know what's funny is I talked about it a little bit earlier, and I don't know, have we always been this way, right? Have we always been this way? We just didn't have a vehicle to unleash this to our neighbors and to our Facebook friends and to the world itself. Have we always been this way? I don't think we have been. I don't think we've ever really been this way. This, and again, I believe that Obama coming in the office at first, there was a backlash of the right and a backlash of some people who were very uncomfortable with it, who had bias and racial overtones. I'm not going to lie to you there. But was it as big as a lot of people think? No, I don't think it was. But there was that. And I think in the last election, we didn't have the disdain for one another. Mitt Romney, I mean, the only thing I can take away from the last election before Trump and Hillary was Mitt Romney's 47% thing. That's it. Outside of that, there wasn't really anything crazy. What do you think? There wasn't a disgust and hate. It was the start of the one percenters. It was the start of the Occupy movement. But it wasn't to the point where we all had this disdain for each other. It's disgusting the way that we treat each other. But then I think to myself, you know, I bet if you go back 100, 200 years, think about the time just before the Civil War and after the Civil War. Think about how people in the South and the North felt. Think about that. Think about the way, and remember, it wasn't just everybody in the South. Brothers and family members fought against brothers and family members. Not everybody in the North was for the North's cause, and not everybody in the South was for the South's cause. You had a lot of people that if you will, they changed positions, moved and fought for different sides. It really was that Civil War-like feeling, and maybe they felt like it, but they didn't have the tool, right? They didn't have, I mean, let's be real. It was a, you know, if you were mad at your neighbor might be 110 miles away from you. You don't know. I mean, this is the way it was. Maybe we've always been like this, but I like to think we're not. I like to think we're better than this. This entire election, you know, unfriended. How many people did you lose? How many people unfriended you? How many people didn't want anything to do with you anymore? How many people got rid of you on their social media or blocked you from their social media because they didn't like something you were posting? I bet it was a lot. And a lot of the tolerant out there were intolerant. I've got people on my Facebook page who friended both my friend side and the fan page. And they're not very tolerant and they're left wingers. And I've got some people on the right side of the aisle that, you know what, some of the stuff they post, I'm not a fan of. But I'm a fan of free speech, and so I let people sit there and have their, just, you know, their discussions, their debates. And if I will step in if it gets completely horrific. But the attitudes that people have, you know, the attitudes that they have towards one another, the common ground we used to have of just being Americans is somewhere gone. Now we've cloaked ourselves in this, I'm a liberal or a progressive or I'm a conservative or a Republican or you know, and we wrap ourselves in this, and this has become the identity of who we are, and it's so bizarre to me. It really is. It's so bizarre. And what used to be maybe a poking in the fun at somebody, or maybe, you know, ribbing them a little bit, or maybe has now become disgust and hate for one another to the point that we're willing to let fellow man freeze to death or laugh about somebody's tragedy because they voted for somebody that I didn't like. And they think it's funny. Sir, you're not a winner there. You're not. You're not a winner on that one. You're a loser. I don't care who you are. If you're a fellow American, you're American. I don't care what color you are. I don't care about any of those things. Celebrate our differences and we can still get along. I have friends who are super liberal. Some of my best friends are super liberal. Some of them I've known since basically the day I was born. Some of them have come into my life later in life, just over the last several years, and I'm great friends with them. And on most things politically, we don't see eye to eye. But you know what? We jive in a lot of other ways. And we have a great friendship and a bond. And I'd like to think we are better than that. To me, that's being a winner. That's putting your best foot forward. Diversity of thought is the greatest diversity that's out there. It's not diversity of color. It's not diversity of gender. It's not diversity of sexuality. It's not any diversity of thought is the greatest singular diversity that's out there. And until we can recognize that and get over these childlike behaviors, we're not going to move forward. And that's a sad state for us. That is a very sad state. So in some ways, no, I don't think we can get past this hate because I think there's too many people who have wrapped themselves in their identity, in their political beliefs. But I'd like to think over the next couple years, we can start bridge that gap because we're going to become more adult in the way that we act. But so far, I don't know if that's coming. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's me! Hey, I love television. I know you do as well because that's the kind of people we are, right? I mean, we can pretend I don't have a TV. You ever those people? We're at the point in our lives where, you know, there's always that one person is like, I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV in my house. You're like, so weird. Who doesn't have a TV in their house? Like, I don't have a TV in my house. We don't believe in TV. I'm like, well, you're just awkward. And we have nothing in common. If you don't want to hang out with that person, I get it. Like, I don't even know what to talk to somebody like, okay, I love TV. I watch TV. I mean, and again, TV's changed so much. We got movies, we've got TV, everything's at our fingertips. And I'm telling you, this year is the year that the movie industry is going to change even more than it ever has, because I have a feeling this year we're going to finally get all of those opportunities to pay that $39.95 on an opening weekend to watch a movie that's in a major motion picture that's in the theaters the same time it's at your house. It's going to happen. Theater owners are going to be pissed all they want, and they're going to throw a fit all they want, but they better realize that, look, there's always going to be those people that wants to go to a sporting event because the atmosphere is great, that wants to go to a theater because, you know what, you're going to get the big acoustics, you get all those stuff. But you know what? There's also going to be people like me who says, you know, I really want to see this movie, and I'm going to invite a couple friends over, and we're going to have dinner, and I'll spend $50 to watch it. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing is. We love our entertainment. Speaking of entertainment, kids, I've got in my hand the 10 most anticipated television shows for 2017. And as I look over these 10 anticipated shows, I do know that Hollywood is maybe running out of ideas. Because four of these shows have all, well, five of them, if you want to get serious, have either been a movie franchise of some sort, have been TV shows previously, and or was a singular movie, not a franchise, but a movie. And the other thing, and this is something I find to be rather interesting, is the way that we are revamping television shows that you thought, this show's great. Like, you ever see a show and you think, man, that show's great, but man, if it was on real cable or if it was on Netflix, it may be better because you could go a little further. I think we got a few of those. So let's take a look at the 10 shows and a listen, if you will, to the 10 magical shows that are the most anticipated shows of the year. Number 10 is a show called Legion. Take a listen.
Just tell me what happened next.
Look.
I don't know. It's fuzzy.
You went off your medication.
Wake up.
Why?
We're just looking for the truth. Which you promised to tell.
I told you they took her.
Sydney Barrett, the girl who disappeared.
She didn't disappear. She took my place, and I took hers.
Wait, what?
Legion. Legion is kind of a spinoff of the X-Men. It's Charles Xavier's son, who's got, like, he's a psychopath, kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puff. Of course, you know, that's Charles Xavier. You know who he is, right? Right? You know, the guy in the wheelchair, the whole nine yards. That's his kid, and he's supposed to be the most powerful of all of the X-Men, except for he doesn't really know how to control his powers, and he's kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? So that's Legion. I look forward to that one. That looks interesting. This one is a spinoff of a show that Kiefer Sutherland manned the helm and did a pretty damn good job of. This is the new one. It's coming out in Fox. This is 24-Hour Legacy.
I'm worried about you. You're barely eating or sleeping.
Go, go, go.
I think you gotta get past everything that happened to you over there.
I'm okay.
Are you?
You're gonna make a great first lady.
6 months ago,
former director of CTU Rebecca Ingram
launched an assault on the compound of Ibrahim Ben-Klee.
I'd like to acknowledge the many dedicated people at CTU and the six Army Rangers who risked their lives to stop Bin Khalid from carrying out his threat to attack this country.
It looks interesting. Again, this is another one of those things where if you've got a formula that works, you go back to it over and over again. Hollywood is now famous for that. We always joke about, are they running out of ideas? Well, in some ways, it feels a little uncomfortable, and they may be running out of some ideas. So we'll see what happens. Corey Hawkins is the star of that. We move from there to this one. It's got all kinds of the star power kind of feel for it. It's going to be on HBO, which, again, pushes the envelope because this is what's able to happen now. HBO and Netflix and Amazon, all these stuff, they're getting episodic, like, television shows or series. I don't want to call them television shows, series, and they're getting massive star power, and there may not be a bigger star power. Listen to this star power, okay? You ready for this? This is crazy. First of all, David E. Kelly produces it. Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, Alexander Skarsgård, Lauren Dern, Adam Scott, and Shailene Woodley star in this. It's called Big Little Lies.
Are you new to Monterey?
Yeah, we just moved here a few weeks ago.
You're going to love it.
You're so nice. This is Monterey. We pound people with knives
to death.
Everybody wants to prove who's the richest.
We're talking about viciously competitive people.
And at the root of it was Madeline.
Exactly how psychotic do you think I am?
He's a lot younger than her.
Celeste.
She must be pretty, you know.
So bad.
We are so bad.
We're so bad. It's an actor's thing, and they get to go there, and they get to do acting, and this is what actors love to do. And again, it's HBO. You've got massive star power. Is it going to be Sopranos-like? Is it going to run for 5, 6, 7 season? I don't know. But I also think the money they're throwing at these people nowadays is tremendous. I mean, you hear about, like, you know, De Niro is going to do a Netflix thing. I think they're going to pay him, like, $500,000 an episode. For like 8 weeks work. I'll take it. I got nothing going on. I don't. I'll get rid of this dog and pony show like that. Anthony, pack our bags. We're going to go do a Netflix show. Let's get ready for it. We move on from there to a movie or TV show called American Gods. It's on Stars. It's kind of a fantasy flick, and it's one that a lot of people are talking about.
Something feels weird.
Shadow, we're going to be releasing you a couple of days early.
There's no good way to say this, so I'll put it plain. Your wife, she died in the early hours of this morning.
So what would I call you if I was so inclined?
Shadow Moon. What might I call you?
What's today?
Wednesday.
Today's my day. I could use a fellow like you.
You know who he is? Who he really is?
He really is. I could totally. I love Ian McShane. He's in it. So, again, it's another one of those fantasy-like things. Another fantasy-like thing is on Netflix. And by the way, 815 episode is what they're giving De Niro for that. So that's not bad. That's not chump change for doing not a lot. This one is another one of those things where there's Marvel Comics. Netflix is doing, they're taking the offshoots of stuff. They've already done it with Luke Cage, and they've got another one on here that we'll talk about in a minute. But this one, it unites Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist. It's an 8-episode kind of episodic series. It's called The Defenders.
You think the four of you can save New York? You can't even save yourselves.
Good and evil. And sometimes the delineation between the two is a sharp line. Sometimes it's a blur.
And sometimes law isn't enough.
The city and its future. Seeing Hell's Kitchen to its fullest potential is very important to me.
That looks fun. Because I watched Luke Cage. I was talking to somebody. If you've not seen Luke Cage, it is a African-American, it's one of the first African-American superheroes. It's badass, too. You should watch it if you've not seen it. Check it out. We move from there to we're going backwards now. We're going backwards now. Showtime, though, has picked this up. We all remember this in the 90s. It's Twin Peaks.
She's dead, wrapped in plastic.
Good Lord, Laura.
Laura Palmer.
Was it seduction or illusion? Deception or murder? Nothing is what it seems.
Diane, 11:30 a.m., February 24th.
In a town like
in
Twin
a town.
Peaks.
Now, Twin Peaks, though. Really reviving that? Here's one I'm excited about. This is number four of the one they're talking about. This one, though, is it looks interesting. We talked about him going to be on The Defenders, but he's getting its own little spinoff as well. This is about a New York City billionaire turned Buddhist monk who returns to the Big Apple after being gone for 15 years. And guess what? He's a badass, and he's got an iron fist.
Because of who you are, there will always be forces gathering against you. Disguised as a friend, slipping past you as a stranger. They are everywhere. You are a living weapon. Drive all other thoughts out of your mind except this.
Ooh. Oh, by the way, it looks very, very cool. We move from there to this one I'm super interested in seeing. And I've seen, Fox has just flooded everywhere with it. It's on FX, and it stars Tom Hardy, again, another big star, in this kind of weird guy returns back from 1814 London. He's been like all over the place, and he's kind of this gothic, weird kind of black magic, total bizarre, trippy, violent, sexualized thing. It's called Taboo.
I attended Mr. Delaney's funeral, and a ghost appeared. A son we all thought dead in Africa.
James Keziah Delaney.
You will see, Delaney, this legacy is your death sentence.
I could do that.
Confidence allowed.
I could totally act like that. You will see, Phil, that this is your death sentence. That's pretty good. Is everybody fair? Charged up
awesome.
On that? That was awesome. Thank you very much. This one, I didn't see the movie with Jim Carrey, but my little brothers and sisters have read the book, and there's a series coming out, and if you've got kids, check out the trailer for this. It stars Neil Patrick Harris, and it's called A Series of Unfortunate Events. It's the Lemony Snicket's thing.
Violet, Klaus, and Sonny were intelligent children. Most everything that happened to them was rife with misfortune and despair.
Your parents have perished in a terrible fire. Perished means killed.
We know what perished means.
Hello, 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 children. I am Count Olaf, your new guardian. Do you know what this is?
It looks like a list.
Wrong! It's a list. A list of chores.
We know you're just trying to steal our parents' fortune. We have to get out of this wretched
Looks good. Looks interesting. And if you watch the trailer, because I thought, oh, I'll look at the trailer. It came on. I was like mesmerized. I'm like, I can't wait to see that. Much like Stranger Things, I couldn't wait. I can't wait to see this. And I can't wait to see what happens in Stranger Things, too. But I always toss around the Stranger Things. We talked about that the other day. I don't know if I love the storyline or if it's just the nostalgia that keeps me there. I think that the nostalgia definitely got me interested because it took a bit to get into the storyline. But the nostalgia really brought me into it. So we'll see. That is the series of unfortunate events, Lemony Snicket. And finally, this came out. It did really well. There was some issues. It's being brought back with the original crew, including Dominic Purcell and Wentworth Miller. It's called Prison Break Sequel.
What was my father like? My real father.
It was like a storm appearing suddenly out of a clear blue sky and then disappear just as quickly.
The storms, they can come back, can't they?
Looks like your brother might just be alive.
Michael, we're here to get you out. Boom!
You would think at some point in time that they would realize he's trying to get his brother out of prison and then they would just capture him and put him in there. And he'd be like, dude, if you could have... Never mind. You shouldn't have got trouble in the first place. That's Prison Break sequel. I'll post these on the Facebook page. But these are some of the big things that are coming out this year. And I think we could write something. Based on this list, they're just giving up. We're going back to the old thing. Based on this list, they've quit. I'm coming out with some new stuff. Get ready for it, kids. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, Chad Benson. Text the show, 323-538-2423. We've also got a poll up at the Twitter account, at Chad Benson Show. It's, do we hate each other so much we can't even get along despite our differences politically? Are we at that point? Check it out. Go there. I'll give you the results a little bit later. We got another one of those studies that says if you do this, you'll be healthier. Chad Benson Show.
How the hell does that happen?
That just might be the dumbest idea I've ever heard, ever.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
We got another one of those studies that say if you do this, you'll feel better about who you are as a human being and you'll lose weight and everything will be grand. You know those studies are BS, right? Those studies are bunk. This new one comes out talking about what you could do at work. And then if you walk 5 minutes, like this is common sense, right? Like if you work for an hour and you get up and you stretch your legs and you go for a brisk walk and take a quick break, they found that that's okay. That's good for you. That's taking a break is good for you. Like, do I need a funded program to talk about something like that? Like, do we need one of those? Like, we really need to fund something to find out if people can get up and walk in circles for 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and take a deep breath. Everybody, you know what? When I used to run companies, I used to tell everybody, take a 10-minute break. Breathe. Walk. Because you're going to be energized. Not just one 15-minute break, you know, every 2.5 hours and a 30-minute lunch. Take a 10-minute break because you're going to be more energized. Oh, geez, they found that out. I didn't need a study to do that. I don't need a study at all to do that. I thought I did. I thought for sure I need a study for this. But no, I found out that I'm just not an idiot, and this works just fine. These studies are bunk, by the way. None of these studies are worth their weight in salt. They're worth their weight in. They're not even worth the ink on the paper. And I'll tell you why. Because you know you better than anybody. You know you better than anybody. So if tomorrow morning you read something that says if you stick a pickle in your nose, you'll lose weight. Because they've done it to some people and it works for them. Then people go out and do it. Then I can find somebody else that says, well, no, if you stick a jalapeno in your nose, you'll lose weight. Then you can find somebody else that says, if you poke yourself in the eye with a stick, you'll lose weight. You know you better than anybody. First of all, don't do any of those things. And secondly, if you do, but I mean, honestly, you know you better. There's no magic elixir, people. I'm telling you this as a person who for the first 25 years of my life, 24 years of my life, was a athlete that busted his ass. And guess what I did? I ate pretty good, and I worked out hard. As I've gotten older, let myself go. I need to lose 20, 30 pounds. You know what? I'm 46 years old. I'm not in bad shape for my age. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I don't do drugs. Never had, never will. But I tell you this. I said this year I'm going to lose about 20, 30 pounds. That's my goal, is to get that and to drop some weight and just kind of fix my lifestyle a little bit. I'm going to make small adjustments and make them adjustments that will last. There you go. There's no elixir. There's nothing. There's no magic pill, just like the youth pill, right? They've been looking everywhere to find the youth pill. Now, through genetics at some point in time, maybe we'll unlock these. And with the way that technology has moved, the possibility's there. But as of right now, the best thing to do is to stretch your legs once in a while, go for a walk. By the way, the people that are most sedentary, who are always, these people who are super sedentary are very much at risk to have a heart attack, usually because they're fat and out of shape. That's just it. And some people who are thin and in shape who have heart attacks, it's a genetic thing. You know your body better than anybody else. Just go with it. Stop reading the studies. How about this? Eat a little bit less, work out a little bit more, and over time, watch the weight fall off. And yes, at work, it's good to get up for 5 or 10 minutes an hour, stretch your legs, and just kind of refresh yourself. I didn't need a study for that. But if you want to send me money, at Chad Benson Show, you could do that. Solid! Hope you're well, kids. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.